Hey there, Rich Pav from www.hurrahfromjapan.com. I'm going to try not to sound sleepy. Oh man, I'm just fighting to stay awake at work. So I gave up and left. It's Friday the 13th, 6:45 at night. I'm going to go to Shibuya tonight. I have a problem with my video iPod. I've always had it. I just haven't dealt with it yet. There's a dead pixel on the screen. I haven't dealt with it yet because I didn't want to return it because I have all my stuff on it. But now that I have downgraded the firmware, and when I put everything back on, it's exactly the way it was before I downgraded, even though I had to erase the whole thing. All of the movies that I half watched, they're still they're sort of like bookmarks left. So when I watch a movie I haven't watched all the way through, it plays back, starts playing back exactly where I left off. So I guess that information is synced with iTunes every time you sync your iPod. So since it's not going to be such a hassle to get a replacement iPod, I'm going to go to the Apple Shibuya store tonight and see what I have to do to get it replaced. Well, this morning I started off on the topic about things that piss Gaijin off. And I just want to give one disclaimer here, is I'm not a Japanologist, and I'm not a Japanophile, and I don't have a degree in Japanese culture, and I don't read the books about Japanese culture, because I just find them annoying. I have read in the past books about why Japanese do what and how to act in Japan, and you know those kind of books, right? Well, the thing you have to take into account when you read those books is that those books, foreigners read those books and Japanese don't. So you'll often find that Japanese don't act the way that they're supposed to, according to the books, which is pretty funny. Like, You'll read in books that Japanese never walk down the street and drink at the same time. They'll always buy a drink and stop and drink it, and when they're done, they'll start walking again. And I guess my mother read that in some book, and she saw somebody doing that. She said, "Hey, he's not supposed to be doing that." And I figured, well, I guess he didn't read the book. So, and also, everybody's got their wild opinions as to why things are the way they are in Japan, and everybody pretty much believes that their reason is the right reason, and if anyone has a different reason, then it's wrong. I've got my guesses as to things, and people have their guesses, and a lot of people get angry when they hear your opinion and it's not the same as theirs. Yeah, I don't know. A lot of people think it's more important to be right than it is to be happy. And I really don't care. I'd rather be happy. Like, you get into these arguments, and it's like playing tug of war, where you're... If you're angry enough, or if you're more angry than the other person, then you're right. I don't do that anymore. It's like, you know, if someone wants to play tug of war with me, I don't pick up the rope. I just say, yeah, well, maybe you're right. And that's about it. But anyway, what I was talking about was sometimes people will ask you to teach them English, or teach their organization English, or their kids English, but they'll ask you in a way that makes it so that it's very difficult to say no. And I'll give you an example of that. When I was working for the Koga City Board of Education as an assistant language teacher in the three junior high schools in Koga, I was teaching with three other foreigners at the same time. There was a guy from California and a guy from Australia. One day, the mayor comes up to our section of the city hall where we were sitting, and he says, "You know, I've never met you guys, and you've been here a while. So why don't you come over to our house, to my house, on the weekend, and you know, my wife will make us dinner and we'll talk." He said, "Sounds good." So we all get to his house to have dinner. And you know, it was a nice dinner. It was him and his wife and his daughter. And at the end of the dinner, he springs it on us. "Hey, you know, this was a lot of fun. How would you like to come every weekend and teach my daughter English? You don't all three of you have to come. It's just one of you, and you could always trade off, so it won't be much of a difficult. It won't be too difficult for any of you." And this was the weird thing he said. And he said, I have whiskey. you can drink all you want." So that was an inside joke between the three of us for a long time. "I have whiskey." It's like, geez, what do you think you are? What do you think we are, winos? His daughter never got the English lessons. And I've had it other times, too, where when I was at the same job teaching, I also had to teach English lessons in the evening at community centers around the town. And one time there was this high-profile gynecologist in one of the classes who was pretty active in the either the Rotary or the Lions Club, I forget which. And one day he comes up to me and says, "I promised the Lions Club that you would start teaching us English. Which would be more convenient for you, Tuesdays or Thursdays?" And he was, he was a prick. And that's not a cultural thing. That was just, he was, as a human being, he was a prick. And it took a very long time to get him to stop doing that. So There have been times when people really, really want you to teach and you have to say no, and it's very uncomfortable because they've already done you a favor and they expect you to reciprocate. And that is something cultural. And it's not just Japanese imposing on foreigners, which may... It may seem from your point of view, but you also have to understand is that's the kind of thing the Japanese do to each other. So, if anyone else has had that happen to them, one of these uncomfortable situations that it's very difficult to get out of, and if you've gotten out of it in a good way, send me an email or leave a message on the blog or send me an audio comment, and let's hear how you got out of it. And let's see, what is next? I'll try to think of something else, but in the meantime, I got an email from the BBC. I think I mentioned this before, and I got some more information from them today that they want me to produce a quote for a music show. And they're doing something about podcasting in other countries, and they want to know about the influence of podcasting on music in Japan. And I don't know anything about it. I haven't been doing any music lately because I'm on this shitting out 50 episodes as fast as I can kick. But I will get back into music. So I have to. I did a little bit of research on the podcast, on how podcasting is being received in Japan. No pun intended. Got to get my ticket here. Probably about a year and a half ago, there was only one podcast, and that was Scott Lachman's. And now there are, it looks like either hundreds or thousands of podcasts. It's hard to say. There's no way that I can tell of figuring out how many people subscribe to particular podcasts. Because FeedBurner is not Japanese compatible yet, but they are hooking up with an organization, a company in Japan, to come out with a Japanese version of FeedBurner. The closest thing they have is a website called podcastjuice.jp, which is run by Nifty, which is an internet access provider that's part of Fujitsu. And they have a way of ranking your... Whoops, that made an awful sound, didn't it? That was the... Oh, hang on. Gotta reattach this microphone here. My glasses. They have something similar to FeedBurner, where you run your RSS feed through their system, and that it'll rank you according to how popular your podcast is in compared to other people who are using the same service. So you can't see exactly how many people are subscribed to your podcast, but you can see how you rank. And that doesn't help much. Okay, I gotta get on the train, so I'm gonna pause this and talk to you when I get to Shibuya. Oops, I turned the mic too early. Got a little loud before the train stops and I can get off. Podcast Juice has this service called Podfeeder that gives you a button on your blog that tells you your ranking of your podcast, but it doesn't tell you how many subscribers you have. So basically they're hoarding that information all to themselves, and you get nothing in return, which is why I don't have one of those buttons on my blog. I'm looking forward to FeedBurner coming to Japan. Should be coming actually very soon. So I did a little bit of research today on the music industry, or the music podcast in Japan. And there are a couple of that are popular that I haven't listened to, and they're all independent music podcasts. So I'll definitely start listening to them. Very interesting, the kind of podcasts that are popular in Japan. I would say the genre of podcasts that's most popular in Japan are English conversation podcasts that are made specifically to teach English. Personally, I would never listen to them. Even if there was one for Japanese, I wouldn't listen to it, because they're always very stilted textbook English, and I don't find them very useful, and I don't find stilted textbook Japanese very useful either, because nobody speaks it. NHK, which is like the BBC or PBS for Japan, they have foreign language TV courses, and there's one for foreigners, and there's the Japanese they teach is just so annoying I can't watch it for more than 30 seconds. So somebody asked me, how do I learn Japanese? What helped the most was when I was an assistant language teacher. I taught alongside of Japanese English teachers And, well, the reason why Japanese don't speak English very well is because of the English education system, where the Japanese teacher will speak 99% of the time in Japanese and teach English through just basic grammar translation, fill in the blank, repeat after me kind of thing. I guess it's the same way most Americans learn French or Spanish, right? So I would teach the same lesson with different teachers, or I would teach the same lesson with the same teacher over and over and over and over again, and I did this for 4 years. So I would sit there, and while the Japanese teacher was explaining English in Japanese, I was listening. And that taught me a heck of a lot of Japanese. It didn't do much for teaching the kids English, but man, by the time I finished, after my 4 years there, I could teach the whole class in Japanese by myself. And the other ways I learned Japanese is basically by just using it. I like to read short articles in Japanese. So, like for example, I'll read Google News in Japanese. And I have an extension for Firefox called Moji, M-O-J-I, that puts an English, Japanese-English dictionary in your sidebar. So all you got to do is highlight a word that you don't know and paste it in the Moji. It'll give you the definition in English. It's much quicker than looking up characters in a paper dictionary. I don't think anybody does that anymore. That's how I started out. Okay, so I'm in Shibuya now. I went out the Hachiko exit. So I'm at that... actually, I'm at the exit on the corner where, if you're a Dignation fan, I'm right in front of the place where Alex and Kevin did their Dignation in Japan episode. I could tell by the rail they were sitting on. I could tell exactly where they were. Yeah, so that's it. One more thing about music. A long time ago, I did an episode in McDonald's in Shinjuku, and I played a song from a group called Otofuke, who are just two guys in their 20s playing acoustic guitar. And they do live performances on the street, and they play in different venues, and they put out a couple of CDs, and they were just great. They were absolutely fantastic. And the best thing about their music was it was just all instrumental, but it was instrumental music you could really listen to. I was really excited when I heard them because I knew that I could help promote them on a worldwide scale and help them help their careers. And then like a couple of weeks or a couple of months later, I checked out their website and found out that they had broken up. And all it said on their website was an announcement saying all future engagements have been canceled. Thanks for, you know, supporting us for all these years. And that was it. And then today I checked it again. And it turns out that one of the guys from Otofuke, a guy called Kenta, is going to start a solo career. And it sounds like he's going to have to start from zero. So it might be that he's going to have a completely different sound. I don't know. But I'm going to look into that. I'm going to try to get in contact with him. And I would really like to figure out a way for them to be able to sell their CDs worldwide. Because right now, the only way that you can get them online, I think, is through the Tower Records Japan site. And I don't know if they deliver overseas. So I'm thinking maybe a place like CD Baby, or maybe they can get their songs into iTunes. But I need to talk to them about it. I'd really love to help them out. I know that neither of them speak much English. They went to New York City last year, the year before, and performed on the street, and they blogged it, and they mentioned a couple of times that they had no idea what anybody around them was saying. And then there's also that other guy, Anizo, which I promised him I would get in touch with him, because he's really excited about getting his music promoted. He's the guy, Anizo is the guy who plays the guitar like God, I was almost going to say George Carlin. Why the hell was I going to say George Carlin? Stanley Jordan. Taxi Drivers. He plays the guitar like Stanley Jordan by playing on the frets instead of strumming the guitar. I said I was going to get touched, and I never got around to it. I had my my bout of anxiety and shyness that I sort of kept me from doing that. So another thing that bothers me about Japan is when you go to the restaurant, the portions are much smaller than what you get in America, and it's expensive. And there's really not much you can do about that except spend money and order double sizes, or there are some places where you can get free. I'm not going to say a change of rice, but free. You get extra helpings of rice for free. Every once in a while, you can find a restaurant that has an all-you-can-eat special during lunch. So I go for that. But I remember I used to work with a guy. I used to complain about that all the time. I worked with a guy when I first came here. I worked with a guy who, complained all the time. But I really can't criticize for that, because I used to complain too. And I will tell you why I stopped complaining. It was one day I stopped complaining. I don't know if I mentioned this. Maybe I did. Probably when I was here for about 2-3 years. I took a trip to Korea, just a weekend trip, with some co-workers and friends and my girlfriend. Not the person I'm married to now. We went to Korea. And I had an exceedingly horrible time in Korea. I just completely hated Seoul. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who like Seoul. I didn't. I found the Koreans tend to be much more pushy. Like, if you're walking down the street and there's somebody behind you who wants to be in front of you, they will push you out of the way. And that really started to get on my nerves. And also, I had this really bad experience when I was shopping. Somebody back in Japan asked me, just wanted to know, just out of curiosity, how much does it cost to have to buy a wool jacket? So I went into the store and asked, and the owner of the store got it in his mind that I was going to buy that jacket, and he wasn't going to let me out of the store until I bought it. And he was actually physically keeping me in the store, and he had two other employees guarding the exit so I couldn't leave. And I had to wait till his guard was down and run out a side exit, otherwise I wasn't going to leave. And that was major culture shock after having gotten used to culture in Japan. And there was the other thing was, when you go somewhere in a taxi, let's say you're going from point A to point B, and in the middle of the ride, if there's somebody else who's hailing a cab, the cab will stop, find out where the guy's going, and if it's relatively in the same direction as you, he'll pick up the guy. So if he's going to point C, right, and it's a little off the right, if it's a little off the route from where you're going, you have to pay the whole fare. And he pays from point A to point C, and you have to pay point A, point C, point B. And that was I thought that was extremely unfair, and there was nothing I could do about it because I didn't speak any Korean. So, and also the subways smell like kimchi, which probably isn't too bad if you smell like kimchi yourself. But if you're the kind of person who doesn't eat kimchi, and you get on a bus and it's just emanating from everybody's skin, it can, it just made me sick. It made me want to puke. And I'm sure Korea is a great place to live once you get used to it. But it was just a weekend, and I really hated it. Sorry. I'm sure there's a lot of people who hate Tokyo or from Korea. And I said to my girlfriend, you know what? After this, I will never complain about Japan. I never did. End of that. I'm almost at the Apple Shibuya store. It's funny. I've been walking and talking to myself the whole way. And it's been a couple of times when I was standing at a streetlight waiting for it to change. And there are a lot of foreigners in Shibuya. And I sort of noticed that they were staring at me as if I were crazy. But I'm okay with that now. I'm cool. Right, so here I am at the Apple store. So I'm going to go to the Genius Bar and ask them about what I can do with this iPod with the dead pixel. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get served immediately, because usually you're supposed to make a reservation on the web before you come. That's the sound of a DJ. It's the sound of a DJ doing a sound check. At least they're going to do a performance here. Pretty freaking loud. So I'm at the Genius Bar, and from what I've seen of Genius Bars, pictures of Genius Bars in Apple stores in other countries, it looks pretty much the same. Ooh, the wood's looking a little beat up. This place looked really nice when it first opened, but the Genius Bar is starting to show some signs of wear and tear. It's starting to look like a high school wood shop table. Speaking of Macs, latest word is the new Macs aren't going to support Windows XP, because they don't boot with BIOS, they boot with something else, some other acronym, I can't remember exactly what it is. And Windows XP isn't compatible with it, but Vista will be compatible with it. And there shouldn't be anything that's going to prevent people from dual booting Windows and iMac on the new iMac hardware. There's also a rumor that they were going to announce different products at the keynote speech in California, but at the last minute they had to change it because they couldn't ramp up production of the dual core Intel chips quick enough. So there are some very cool products in the queue that they haven't announced yet, and somebody from Apple was quoted on Wired saying, if I were you, I wouldn't buy one of the latest announced PCs because there's something much more cool coming up. All the Apple employees are all grunge cool. Raggy jeans. All the same t-shirt. They have a new t-shirt. It's sort of like a...
it's got an iPod on it and sort of like a psychedelic background. And they're all wearing iPods like fashion accessories. I'm sorry, but a shuffle's not a fashion accessory. Unless you live in a trailer. Cell phone number. What is it? So he's calling out the names of people who are already in line before me. There we go. Oh, screw that. I'm not going to hang around here for an hour. So much for that. I'll live with the dead pixel for a little while longer. Not surprising, this is the best place to look for iPod accessories and headphones and stuff. A lot of the stuff they have here is made overseas. The Shure headphones, Koss headphones. You know, it's something I've been meaning to do for a long time. I want to do a video cast on how to make your own sound isolating headphones out of a, God, they're fucking loud, out of a $20 pair of Koss headphones and some earplugs and a big pen. That's gonna make it too loud. See if they have one of the new. Desktop maps, Macs, that looks like an oversized iPod. But I don't know if it's Intel or not. I'm not going to take this. Nope, it's not. Let's see what this one. Yes, here it is. I just did a about Mac in the Apple menu, and it says Mac OS 4, 2 GHz Intel Core Duo, 512 megabytes DDR SD RAM. How about that? and it looks just like a regular iMac. It's got everything that an iMac has. It's got all the accessories, or all the programs at the bottom. How about that? No price on it. But I saw on the web that these things cost 300,000 yen, which is a lot of money. I mean, even when you translate that into dollars, it's still a heck of a lot more money than what they're selling for in the U.S. And but that's tax included, because there's a law in Japan that all vendors have to display prices with tax included. Well, it looks like a regular Mac, but it's running Intel. It's got a huge screen. Must be 17 inch. Supposedly, the resolution of the Intel screens is lower than that of the Mac screen, but I can't tell. Very, very nice. Let's see this one. Go to another one here. Okay. The one next to the one I was using is a little bit smaller. It's a 15-inch, and it's using 1.83 gigahertz Intel Dual Core Duo with 512 megabytes of RAM. Cool.
And the others are passed out. And this crazy next-door neighbor of the rooming house, himself a Bohemian, but also a laborer.
The voice in English is something recorded.
The wife has died.
How about that?
I've been in his bed.
I don't see one on the laptop.
Sam gets jazz on his hi-fi, and after the next night, I thought Dave Wayne and Cody Pomeroy were the two greatest drivers in the world. What?
Looking though. Okay. The guy just asked the same question I was going to ask about the new laptops, and he said they'll be on display and also be on sale starting in February. So now that I know that I'm not going to be able to run Windows XP on it, I don't think I'm going to buy one. If I'm going to buy it new and have to wait until Vista comes out to be able to run both Windows and Mac, might as well just wait, because they'll get cheaper, I'm sure. Or maybe they'll come out with a less expensive version of the laptop, because I don't need a top-of-the-line machine. I just need something that's going to be able to edit video without a hassle. Well, this has been going pretty long here, with a few... That's not too bad. 38 minutes. And a few periods of some dead air. Let's get a conversation going about the stuff that bothers you or bothered you when you were in Japan. And also try to think of a way to... Try to think of a different way of thinking about it, so it's not just a bitch fest. All right. So I will end it here. Okay. Well, yeah, I'm heading home. I've got to record about a minute and a half of something for the BBC, and I've got some other things I have to do that I'm under an NDA about, but it'll be announced soon. And definitely this weekend, I'm going to try to put out another video of what I did last weekend. I found out that there might be a way to... Well, this is boring. There might be a way to limit the data rate of the preview window of whatever video editing software you're using, so it doesn't look so choppy when you're previewing it. And that's the problem I'm having, is that when I'm editing, I can look at a clip that was downloaded from the camera and it plays back fine, but when I put it into the editing software's timeline, it plays back so choppily that I can't watch it and listen to it at the same time. That the video is like
10 seconds behind the audio, and it makes it very hard to put subtitles on. Okay, if I talk any longer, I'm just going to blather, so I'm going to end it right here. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the feedback. And one more thing, and then I'll go. There's been a bunch of people who have written me that I haven't written back, and I'm really sorry about that. The problem with me is if somebody writes me and I don't write back immediately, and I start feeling guilty about it, and then because I feel guilty, I keep putting it off, and I keep putting it off, and then I don't answer back. So I'm going to try to redeem myself this weekend and answer all that mail that I haven't answered yet, because, yeah, I get kind of annoyed when people don't answer my mail, so I shouldn't do it to other people, too. And that is it. I'm going to go. Thanks for listening. Keep in touch. See ya.